From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week.
The subject of towers for the armor system were revisited at length during yesterday's Cook County Commissioners meeting. The morning began with comments from county residents imploring the board to consider carefully the impact of a tower located in the Seagull Lake area at the end of the Gunflint Trail. The possibility that no tower is necessary and the suggestion that alternatives should be explored were also put forth. Over the next 2 hours, a parade of law enforcement personnel, emergency responders, county employees, and representatives of other agencies and organizations provided anecdotal evidence to the great benefits already provided by the armor system. This fact was acknowledged by all and appeared unquestioned. However, very little information was offered relative to what MnDOT has deemed the end of the Gunflint Tower. According to Rowan Watkins, Cook County Information Technology Group, the tower is still in the very early stages of consideration, and much engineering work and analysis remains to be done by MnDOT before anything definitive can be said with respect to height, location, or even if the tower is necessary. To illustrate, Watkins read a portion of a MnDOT response to a specific inquiry from a county resident.
The site for the end of the trail tower that was indicated on the coverage map presented by MnDOT at the February 24th commissioners meeting is the latest location to be reviewed. The environmental review process has not begun, nor has the site made it to a point in the engineering process where a height requirement can be known, although a tower taller than 200 feet has never been discussed or deemed necessary.
Watkins also noted the cooperative and responsive relationship which exists with MnDOT and the expectation that MnDOT will do all they can to accommodate preferences of the county board and community.
I think that shows where MnDOT is and on their stance. They want to have better coverage up there. They have to be financially responsible in how they do that. But they are also very sensitive to the concerns that we have here.
It is anticipated that regular communication with MnDOT will continue and that an update on the situation is expected in May of this year.
A public hearing was held at Cook County Courthouse Monday in the ongoing case between the Lakeview Natural Dairy of Grand Marais and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Lakeview owner David Berglund was being charged with contempt of court for denying the MDA to inspect his farm several times in 2014. Berglund could also be facing fines of $500 a day, as well as the MDA's court costs. The case was heard by Judge Michael Cuzzo at 9 a.m. Monday morning. Cuzzo stayed the order to inspect, taking under advisement a second ruling that would reconcile Berglund's constitutional right claim and the state's request for inspection. Around 100 local residents showed up at the courthouse in support of Lakeview Dairy. Berglund appeared beside his attorney, Zenas Baer, but did not speak during the hearing. They were opposed by attorney Kimberly Mittendorf, representing the MDA. Baer claimed the Minnesota Constitution gives farmers the right to sell products of the farm, including those sold at Lakeview, without government interference. Mittendorf claimed those constitutional rights still do not exempt him from required inspections and that Berglund had other legal avenues to express his concerns. Judge Cuzzo said he will review the cases made from both parties and issue a written decision within 90 days of the hearing.
An underground copper mine proposed near Ely could have consequences for both the waters and woods in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. According to the Duluth News Tribune, two scientists commissioned to study impacts of the proposed Twin Metals mine by Northeastern Minnesotans for Wilderness and the Campaign to Save the Boundary Waters said the potential for polluted runoff into lakes, rivers, and groundwater is high. Water running over waste rock and out of the mine's tailings basin could become acidic, which would leach toxic metals into the waterways and increase the amount of mercury that turns into a toxic form. Tom Myers, a Nevada-based hydrologist, said both surface and groundwater from the mining area eventually will flow into the BWCAW or on into Voyageurs National Park and then north into Canada. Twin Metals is proposing a large underground copper-nickel mine southeast of Ely near the Kuwishui River, While the mining would occur underground, the operations footprint above ground, that's roads, transmission lines, parking lots, waste storage areas, and tailings basins, would create a large disturbed area that would be like building a suburb next to the boundary waters, according to Lee Frelick, director of the University of Minnesota's Center for Forest Ecology. He added the large disturbed area would create ripple effects in the BWCAW, spurring changes in tree seed distribution, blocking wildlife corridors, and creating an urban-like heat island that would affect the ecology of the area. Twin Metals Minnesota spokesman Bob McFarlane said the predictions of environmental harm are premature because the company's mining plan is still a few years in the making. The company is continually making changes in how the mine might be built to avoid environmental impacts.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.